Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us, we are glad that you are here. There is a calendar and list of announcements in your bulletin. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning. A lot of announcements this morning. First, a lot of great things going on here at Gates Presbyterian Church this week, but I do want to issue a reminder that during the week, when events are going on here, if Gates Chi Lai schools are closed for weather, which could include snow or cold temperatures, that means that all activities here at GPC are also canceled. So I'm thinking about this real cold weather that's coming on Tuesday. So if even afternoon or evening activities for Gates Chi Lai schools are closed, that means we are closed as well. And if you're wondering about Sunday mornings, if there is a state of emergency in the county and folks are telling you to stay off the roads, then we will cancel church. But only then. Always use your best judgment. All right. And also going on this week, the Engage event hosted by the Presbytery is taking place here on Saturday. Your reservations are needed. Please contact the office by tomorrow to get those in. More information, see your bulletin or myself after worship. And also tomorrow we are headed down to Salem, United Church of Christ, to serve a hot lunch to folks who are hungry there. And Carol Ann and I were talking yesterday about those cold temperatures and is there anything that we can do to help support folks who may not have the resources to stay warm. If you have some extra blankets, clean blankets or sleeping bags, if you can get them here to church by tomorrow morning at 9:30, I know that's a quick turnaround, but if you've got any laying around and are able to, if the church is closed, just leave them outside under the overhang. We'll take them down to Salem tomorrow morning. So if you have any of those extra blankets, just drop them on by church. And also, Tom has let me know that there will be no Guatemala partners on Monday. Instead, they will meet on January 20th. And Frona, all you.
I know. It's all you.
It's all me. She just said something that she shouldn't have said.
Did I say?
Tuesday night, rain, sleet, hail. We don't care. Our beautiful decorations have to come down, unless it's really bad. But we need all committee members, if they could come at 5:30 and see if we can't take care of the problem right now. But thank you anyway.
Thank you.
Jim. Good morning. Two announcements, if I could borrow some time from you. First, the envelopes are out in the foyer. Don't forget to pick up yours after you leave the service this morning. Related to that is, please, please throw away your 2013 envelopes. Drives people crazy trying to find out who you are when the numbers have changed. Okay. And secondly, there is still time for your pledge for 2014 if you have forgotten that. Thank you.
Right, another announcement. I have keys, and they are not to my car. If you drive a Ford of some type and have a little blue dog bone as your keychain, I have them in my pocket. You can get them after worship, preferably not during the sermon, unless it's really that bad. finally, this morning, one last announcement. We here at GPC are working on the accessibility of our building and our worship service to include all of our worshiping community. And if you are interested in asking some of those questions and exploring with us how we can be more accessible, there is a sign-up sheet on the kiosk. Please sign up if you have any questions. Talk to myself or Mary Beth McKenzie. And I saw Carol Ann's hands frantically waving. Who's got the announcement? Is it you? Is it Josh? Is it Jessica? It's you.
I'd like to invite everybody to the opening of the Blue Mountain Coffee House, January the 18th. There's a flyer in your bulletin. We also need your help. We need desserts and we need performers. There's a sign up on the kiosk. This is always a wonderful evening. Thanks.
All right. Seeing no other hands frantically waving, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Stand as able for the call to worship. Darkness is banished. Led by the light of the star, the wise ones came to pay homage.
We too come to the stable, seeking the Christ child.
Let us come this day, bearing our burdens and our joys.
We come with all that we are.
To experience God's joy reflected in this earth.
Thank you.
When we come to God confessing our sins, we can be assured that God forgives us over and over again. Please join me in the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin. Let us pray. Merciful God, we are a people who live in thick darkness. We stumble around, bombarded by news of war and poverty, famine and genocide, injustice and oppression, the maelstrom of things and issues and people of the dark can overwhelm and paralyze us. Help us be people who reflect your light. May we shine your light of righteousness, peace, and joy into all the dark places of our lives and world. Amen. Oh God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. This is the good news. Christ is the light of the world, who grants forgiveness and healing of our sins. Thanks be to God. I'd like to invite the children forward. And Jessica and Samantha. Let's meet over here. This is our last time we can meet by the Christmas tree. You feel so far away. Can you come a little closer? Thanks. Merry Christmas. It's still Christmas. And today we celebrate Epiphany. Epiphany is when the wise men found Jesus. And it's just such a great story. It's a little bit like a big adventure story. Well, I wanted to tell it to you. It was very dark, very, very dark. And all of a sudden, a big, beautiful star appeared in the sky. And the wise men knew, they knew without a doubt, that star meant that a very special baby had been born, a baby from God, the baby that the prophets promised so many years before. Well, what are they to do? Well, they decided that they would go quickly to find this baby, to see this baby. They would take gifts to this baby. So they started out on a very long journey. And they got a little confused with directions. So somewhere along the way, they decided to stop in Jerusalem and kind of find out which way they were supposed to go next. So they stopped at the palace of the king, King Herod. And they said, "Yeah, king, we need a little help here. We're not sure. We know there's a baby born, a baby who's going to be the ruler of all people, a baby from God. Can you help us out? Do you know where that baby is?" Well, King Herod went, "Ugh, what in the world? Ruler of all people? Seriously? I'm the ruler of all people." Well, he said to his advisors, "What's this all about? These people tell me they're following a star, a big, beautiful star, looking for a baby who's going to grow up and care for the people and be the ruler of all people. Oh, go figure out what this is about, because it makes me nervous." Well, the advisors went away and they thought about it. And they remembered what the prophets said. They went back to King Herod and said, "I've got some interesting news for you. A long time ago, the prophets said a baby was coming. A baby would be sent from God, yes, to be the ruler of all people. And that baby has come. That baby was born in Bethlehem."
"Oh no," said Herod, "I'm losing my job." Well, then he came up with kind of a mischievous plot. He said, he decided he'd tell those wise men, yes, I'll tell you where Bethlehem is, and I'll tell you where that baby is. But I want you to come back when you find the baby, and I want you to tell me exactly where the baby is. The wise man thought and said, okay. So Herod said, baby's in Bethlehem, just down the road here. You'll find that baby in Bethlehem. Now don't forget to come back and tell me. And he whispered to his advisors, because I'm going to hurt that baby. That baby's not going to grow up and be the king of all people. Ugh. So the wise men followed that big star. And that star shone over Jesus' house. And those wise men were overwhelmed with what? Joy! That's exactly right. Overwhelmed with joy. And they went into the house and they found Jesus and they gave Jesus wonderful gifts. Gold and expensive oils and perfume. But very shortly an angel came. And the angel said, don't go back to that mean king. Go home a different way, because the king's going to hurt baby Jesus. And the wise men were, in fact, very wise. And that's what they did. They went home a different way after they gave Jesus his presence. And the king, therefore, was not able to find Jesus so quickly. Well, you know, each one of you, when you use the gifts that God gave you, it's as if you're taking your gifts to Jesus. Like, how many of you like to sing? Yeah, I bet you're good at it. When you sing and make other people happy, it's like you're bringing your gifts to Jesus. How many of you are really good listeners? Maybe you don't like to talk so much, but you like to listen. How many? Anybody? Yeah. When you listen to other people, especially friends and family members that have problems, you're using your gifts. You're bringing them to Jesus. Well, how many of you like to be funny and do funny things and make people laugh? Yeah. When you make people laugh, you're using your gifts. You're bringing them to Jesus because you're making people happy. You think so? Okay. So I brought you, I wanted you to see the kings that were part of, if those of you that were here last week saw the shepherds. Here are the kings that are part of my nativity sets at home. You never seen the shepherds? And I've asked Jessica and Samantha to help me. They're going to put a star on your hand. And when you look at that star, I want you to remember the wise men that followed the star to Jesus and the way they brought gifts to Jesus and the way you can bring your gifts to Jesus. All right, Samantha and Jessica, here you go. Okay, we've got plenty. All right, hold out your hands. Let's have a prayer and then you can get your star. Oh God, thank you for sending Jesus. Help us to use our gifts to help the people that God loves so much. Amen. Okay. Come over and we'll give you a star.
Today's first reading of the Word comes from Isaiah, chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
Second reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go, search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." Driving back to my in-law's house after visiting some friends last week, I pulled off at a well-lit truck stop gas station to refuel and grab a quick cup of coffee. Peeking out from those passing clouds, I could see the winter stars shining brightly. And even though I know that many folks already have their Christmas trees down and nativity sets all put away, I'm still thinking about the great star that shone one night over a little town in Bethlehem. Because it's the season of Epiphany, the season of revelation and spiritual insight, which the church marks with Matthew's telling of the strange night visitors who came seeking the Christ child, whose birth, they said, was marked by the rising of a new star in the heavens. And this child, the Magi said, would reflect the joy of God's love in this world. And so in the darkness of an Epiphany evening at a truck stop, I was reminded of a pastor in Oregon who wrote of his Epiphany moment at a place like this. Looking past a string of flashing multicolored Christmas lights around the window of the truck stop restaurant, I see there's only a few people inside. You can imagine with me out back that huge lot with a couple dozen big trucks parked there. Most of the drivers are asleep in their rigs. But inside, where it's considerably warmer, I sit down in a booth beneath the windows. The vinyl, taped together with duct tape, squeaks under me, and the air smells like coffee and onions, bacon, heaven. Behind the counter, there's a large clock with the words "Freightliner Trucks" across the face. And there's a plastic evergreen garland around the white marker board, proclaiming the two specials, corned beef hash, favorite, and bean with ham soup. From the silver wheel where the orders are hung in the kitchen pass-through, four red balls hang, and I smile at these lingering vestiges of Christmas. Truckers cluster in three or four booths. They mostly sit with their heads down and their hands wrapped around those warm mugs of coffee. At the counter, a couple more sit reading the newspaper. At a table, another trucker sits by herself with a clutter of papers. She's punching at a calculator, and I seem to be the only one in the place not wearing a baseball cap advertising a beer, a truck, or a team. And a thin woman with weary, sad eyes brings me a menu. Rita, it says on her name tag. Sorry, we're out of the beans and ham, she says. I'll just have a coffee, though tempted by the hash, and some white toast. And Rita deftly dumps ice water into that cracked plastic glass in front of me. And there's a country western song in the background. Someone singing about searching for love in all the wrong places. I'm sure they're looking for their dog and their truck, too, but I look out the windows as an old van with one headlight and an overload of stuff tied to the roof pulls up, and a young couple climbs out. It's pretty clear from the looks of them that they're on their way to someplace and from somewhere else that obviously didn't work out. It kind of looks like they're not quite sure where they're going. I wonder how many days and nights they've been living out of that van. Maybe their plan is to go until the money runs out, I think, which from the expression on their faces won't be much farther. As they walk by the window, I can see that she's carrying a baby. They come in and take a booth in the back, and the baby begins to fuss. The father lifts the baby onto his shoulder, but it doesn't seem to help. And the exhausted-looking mother takes the child back and rocks him back and forth and back and forth. It doesn't help, and the baby begins to just wail. The mother looks like she's about to cry, a look I know all too well. And then suddenly Rita's there, holding out her arms. "Relax, hon," Rita says. "Let's see what I can do." And there's something about the way Rita takes that infant that makes me think she's probably done this a few times. And talking quietly to the little fussing one, Rita walks behind the counter and starts showing the baby to the two truckers who put down their newspapers and start making silly faces. "Isn't he precious?" Rita says. "Mine are all grown up, but this one's just a darling." And the truckers continue to make those faces and coo, and the baby stops crying. Rita and the baby, they make this tour of the place, stopping at each booth, where men in these sweat-stained caps and big belt buckles unashamedly make sounds and wink and wave and whistle at this little one. And the trucker who's been working the calculator sees that Rita is otherwise occupied. She gets up, goes behind the counter, grabs a pot of coffee, and begins refilling mugs all around the small restaurant. And as she refills mine, I feel that surge of emotion well up. For it just seems that the story of Epiphany is being lived out right here. Right here, where the bright light in the night sky has guided some travelers off the road. Right here, where a weary couple needs the care and help of strangers. Right here, where a baby has created this little community of people who open their hearts, not just to the child, but to each other. And I look around, and I think, here it is. Here it is, a living epiphany pageant being acted out, not in a church this time, but in a truck stop with a cast of unexpected, surprising characters coming off the road and gather around this baby. Yes, this too is epiphany. A reflecting of the God who slips in at odd times, in odd places, like a little town called Bethlehem, like a truck stop off the highway. An epiphany God who thought Christ Jesus, who through Christ Jesus reflects this divine joy for real people. Real people, like Rita, whose eyes betray some great sadness and burden she probably can't talk about. Real people, like a trucker working the calculator and wondering how she'll make the next payment on her rig. Real people, like the other trucker who has now taken over the pouring of the coffee, who walks with a painful limp caused by the many years and long hours of driving, but who can't quit because he doesn't know what else he would do. Epiphany is the glimpses of it. God's joy for real people. Real people like the hardworking trucker at the counter with the skull and crossbones on the back of his t-shirt, but who I catch wiping a tear out of his eye as Rita shows him the baby. Real people, like the Hispanic short order cook who is now laughing and spinning the order wheel decorated by the red balls as Rita shows him the baby. Real people, like that weary young couple with the child who wonder if there's a place just down the road to finally call home. Real people, like the pastor driving out on the icy roads, who struggles with her own darkness, doubts and hard questions, fears and failings, just like everyone else in the truck stop. Back on the highway, I can see the light reflected in my rear view mirror, the bright sign in the darkness, truck stop. It wasn't the Bethlehem Star, but it had led me off the road to a place where I had seen it clearly and plainly. The joy of a God who shows up in unholy, small places, like a Bethlehem manger, like an all-night truck stop, among the comings and goings of real people, like the folks that I had just met. Like all of us. And as the sign disappears into the distance, I recall the meaning of Epiphany, the day we will celebrate tomorrow, but the season that will continue, a revelation, a glimpse, a holy moment when God's joy in Christ is reflected in this world again. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, we all come on our journeys of faith, and we are invited to this table. We are invited to bring our lives both broken and holy. And there is a place for all of us here. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. May the Lord of light be with you. Our hearts are ablaze, shining with God's love. Let us come and kneel down once more, giving thanks for this gift. In that first moment you spoke, radiant God, and the light of creation dispelled the thick darkness of chaos. You whispered, and your glory filled the skies. You sang, and the dust of the earth was shaped into your image as you breathed life into us. We could have lived in grace and peace with you for as long as the sun endures, for as long as the moon hangs in the night sky. But we were tempted by the sweet taste of sin and overwhelmed with temptation's wealth of cheap gifts and thrills. The prophets were sent to tell of your gifts of joy and peace. We listen to the world's news of success, power, and achievement. Finally, in the dark time of despair, you sent the light of your love.
Some travelers once journeyed together beneath a fiery star of wonder and royal light to seek the treasure of their hearts. Kneeling in the stable, they found a gift they sought. In this Epiphany season, we also set out seeking signs of your presence and remembering how this child of Bethlehem broke bounds of oppression to pour out compassion for all. The song of our hearts longs for you
to guide us to that perfect light.
We remember you call for our lives to reflect your light in the world. Into these moments of silence and sacrament, send your spirit upon those gathered in this place and on the gifts of the bread and the cup. Feed us with the bread of hope, so when we leave, we will travel another road to defend the weak, to speak for the voiceless, to assist those cast aside. Refresh us with a cup of grace, so we, overwhelmed with joy, would go forth to enter the houses of the strangers in our midst, to enter the despair of the lonely and forgotten, to enter the hearts of everyone we meet. While we do not always understand what it means to travel down a different path, we go as your disciples, learning from your life and teachings. We also remember a final meal where bread and cup were blessed and shared with new meaning. Here is life. Here is promise. You are my beloved. Here we are sharing in your story and your light.
We remember your life, your words, your love.
As we share this bread and cup, may we open ourselves to the strength and brightness of this love. Amen.
We give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered his friends around a similar table, and on the night before he gave himself to the authorities for his death, and so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength, he took the common bread and he made it holy, just as he takes common people and makes us holy. To remember, he asks us to repeat this act again and again, as he did by saying, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me."
And in the same way, he took his cup and he poured the wine into it. And he said, "This is a sign of the new covenant. Drink, remembering me."
Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together. Friends, this is the bread of life meant to nourish and sustain each of our bodies and souls. Let us give thanks.
And Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Drink, remembering me.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for making this no ordinary meal. It has been one in which we have been fed and nourished with your life. May we go from here refreshed and eager to reflect your light in this world. Amen.
I invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concerns.
Whit Beckett, continued prayers for my brother Tom, who's suffering from a rare form of leukemia. Duke University gave up on the experimental treatment, but now the University of North Carolina says we think we can help you.
Jeff Tuttle, thank you everyone for their prayers for Jen. Continued prayers, we got the pathology report this week, and it wasn't as good as we were hoping it would be. So there's going to be probably some additional surgery and probably some chemotherapy involved. So continued prayers for her. Thank you.
Prayers are with her.
Sherry McFarlane, I'd ask prayers for my aunt in Houston who's in declining health and for my sister who's trying to care for her. Thank you.
I ask prayers for Hannah Walker, who is at home recovering from a hospital stay.
Marge Westfall, I'd like to ask for prayers for my sister, who turned 109 last week. But, unfortunately, I couldn't be with her because it was Thursday, that horrible storm
Aww.
Day. Thank you.
She's amazing.
Amen. And prayers from our children this morning. Prayers for Zach, who is sick. We want him better, please. Amen. And happy joy, prayers of joy about a grandmother's birthday. Amen.
Others? Let us pray. God of eternal light, we, like the wise men, are overwhelmed with joy that you sent your Son into our world. For again, we have been reassured that your light will always shine, even in the darkest times of our lives, even in the darkest corners of our world. As Christmas trees come down and family and friends return home, help each of us to seek ways to continue to carry the light of Christ into our homes, our communities, our world. As you have loved us, we too want to love others with a commitment to reconciliation, respect, and kindness. On these cold days and nights, we pray for those who do not have adequate housing and clothing. Lead them to safe refuge. We give you thanks for the staff of shelters as they reach beyond capacity to provide safe shelter. Show us ways in which we can make and be helpful partners in times of emergency needs. Great God, as we each walk into the new year, in our hearts we have made resolutions of change. Open our eyes to your will. Help us to understand ourselves as your creation and give us the courage to be the people you've created us to be. And we pray for those going through times of grief and times of discouragement and times of illness. Guide us to ways in which we can be vehicles of your light. Hear us now as we pray together the prayer you taught your disciples.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us bring our guests forward.
Let us pray. Creator God, we offer these gifts with gratefulness in our hearts for all that you have given us. We pray that you help us be faithful disciples and use our gifts every day to make the world a more peaceful and just place. Guide us to be beacons of your love, hope, and joy to all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
May the light of God's joy shine in each of our hearts as we go from this place, filled with the love of God, the grace and peace of the Christ child, and the Holy Spirit, who with the star will always guide our way. Alleluia. Amen.